Today's Shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Hniach Barnim Gedoyim V'Ketanim. If a father left over children, adults and young children, and they had not divided amongst themselves the Yerusha. And although the Mishnah, as we're learning now, speaks about the children that are here, are G'dayla Mekdanim, the Rishonim point out that the halachas that we're going to learn are the same if all the children were G'daylim. The same issues that we're going to learn in today's shiur will come up. This, as we're going to learn, what is more common, the issues that we're going to learn are more common by G'daylim and Mekdanim. So again, Hiniach Barnim G'daylim Mekdanim, the father left over adult children and young children, and the adults spent effort in making the assets, the estate that's left, be more valuable. The improvement is divided equally amongst all of them. And the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that they are Meichel, they're all brothers, and they're all Meichel to each other. There's a question amongst the Rishonim that even though the Mishnah clearly says under normal circumstances that the improvement and value going up is divided equally, what would be the halacha if they are they at least entitled to recoup their expenses? Some Rishonim say that they are that much they're entitled to, and some say even that they can't. Vim Amru. However, if the brothers who are about to work on this field made a declaration in front of Edom, saying, "Ru'mashenich Abba, listen, look at this estate that a father left over, and we are going to work on this, but we want to get the value of the improvement because it's a direct relation to our work." The halacha is then, Hishbichu, when it goes up in value, Latman goes to those brothers. And similarly says the Mishnah, V'keina isha hishbichas nechasim. If a woman that worked on the assets, and of course the Gemara Mitzvashem is going to ask the question, when we speak about brothers, adult brothers and young brothers, so there's a concept that they're all yarshim. But a mother, a wife, is not a yarish. So the Gemara is going to ask the question, how is it possible that it should be a similar situation, that she is a Yorish amongst Yorshim? Hishbichas nechasim, hishbichas la'atzma, emtza, whatever goes up is equally divided. However, in Amrav, she clearly indicated, Ruma shenich li bali, look what we have here. Very in the eyes of Eichels, I want to get that improvement. The halacha is hishbichas la'atzma, that she is indeed entitled to that improvement. So the question here is that we need to think about when we learn this sugya is under what circumstances is somebody entitled to improvement and in what circumstances is he not entitled to improvement? There's a story that the Keshuk Echemet brings down where there was an individual who thought that somebody else, Reuven thought that Shimon did him something terrible. So what, and Reuven had another boy that he didn't like. So he went over to the boy and he said, I have a shidduch for you, Shimon's daughter. And the boy looked into this match and it was something that was interesting to him. So he tells the boy, comes back to the boy and says, okay, you could go to this girl's home, to Shimon's home, to meet his daughter at a certain, whatever day, whatever time. The boy comes, Shimon opens the door, and it becomes very obvious that this was a game. This was a game that was being played. And although Shimon could have just said, I'm sorry, you and I were the victims of somebody's bad joke, they obviously figured it out because Shimon asked this boy who's the one that set this up, and he said, it's Reuven. But as Shimon was speaking to the boy, he realized that this is a nice boy. And he called out his daughter, and they met. And Baruch Hashem, they got engaged. And now Reuven, who had done this in such a terrible way, comes and says, well, I deserve to get Shadchanus because I made this Shidduch happen. And the question is, there's a concept in Chosh Mishpat of Hayarid L'stei Chaver Shloi Brishus. If I go down to somebody else, if I work on somebody else's property, I wasn't asked to work on that property, but I did work on that property, and I did cause that property should go up in value. Am I entitled to collect for having done that? And the question here is also, certainly Reuven wasn't asked to be a shatchan here, but at the end he accomplished something very meaningful and very significant. What is the halacha? So the Chashukei Chemed says you can't compare this to the two cases that we're speaking about. In the case where somebody yoyed l'stei chaveri shloi b'shus, if I worked on your property without being asked to do so, my intention of what I did was to actually improve, was actually to make an improvement here. Was I asked to do it? No. But I intended to make an improvement, and I did make an improvement, and therefore there's reason to say that I should be entitled to collect for that improvement. But in this case, Reuven had no positive intention. He only meant to hurt them, to tease both Shimon and this boy. Then he can't come to claim Shadchanus. Not next question, however, is a shaila that the Shalos HaTshuvos Avnei Nezach HaShemishvat Siman Lamed Vav discusses, where, again, somebody mentioned a boy to someone for his older daughter. The older daughter and this boy met, and it wasn't a shidduch. But this older sister says that this is a perfect shidduch for my youngest sister. So the halacha is, again, that wasn't the shidduch that was mentioned, and the shatchan is entitled to get shatchanus for a shidduch that he mentioned. But over here, he did intend to make it, here he did intend to make a shidduch. It might not have been this shidduch that actually happened that he intended to make, but there was a clear intention to make a shidduch. And therefore, in this case, an argument can be made that the shatchan should be able to collect shatchanus. This is similar to the case that we mentioned a moment ago, that if I work on your property without permission, that I caused real improvement, and it was with the intention of a causing improvement, that I am entitled to Shadchanus. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says that in the case, again, and we're going to learn the Mishnah Posh Pshat, that they are brothers, Gedolim and Ketanim, and the Mishnah says that if they make improvements, that they all share. That the brothers who made the improvement, they used the father's assets to make these improvements. That they took their own money to make these improvements. So then everybody will agree that those improvements are improvements that they're entitled to. That's the pshat that the Rashbam learns. The Rivam has a different pshat. The Rivam pshat is that there are certain times that things go up in value by themselves. Real estate is a perfect example where the assets can go up in value there, the share. But if the brothers had to work to make that improvement, under all circumstances, they're entitled. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Vam eni, vam Rav Chanina, afilu lo yinich lehem aviyem. If the father only left them, elu udaini. Udaini is a pit and it's covered. The people used to rent the right to use that as a water pit to feed their animals. Haschal emtsa, the share in that fee. But ask the Gemara, v'daini de machmas atzmihi. That's something that happens by itself. It means that they have to work there. The brothers, if they want to protect their water pit, that it should be continued giving water, they all have to be at that water pit on a regular basis, making sure. So that's something that they're using their own time, their own effort. So we're learning now, if the brothers use their own time and effort, then they deserve to get that improvement. Why over here do they have to share? Answers the Gemara, Shani Udaini, Tila Teresa Avida. What has to be done for a water pit? There's no real labor that's involved. All that's required is somebody stand and watch that water pit. And a filuk tani nami motzumat relay. That's something that you don't need an adult. So ask the Rashbam. So okay. So the fact that these yisayim, the other yisayim are maktanim, isn't a reason, because they could have also done this. But what about if the brothers who are ketanim are very young and they're not old enough even to do that? Will we say that then it's different? So the Rishonim say that we have to look if this is something that could be done by children. And once it's something that could be done by children, the fact that they're a different age of children, since explains the Rashba. The Gemara didn't make that type of distinction. So we look at it in one of two ways. If it's something that can be done by children, then they share. If it's something that's not done by children, that can't be done by children, then only the people who actually did it deserve that benefit. So, for example, he says, what would be the halacha if they did business with that money? They lent it and collected interest. Again, that's not something that typically a young child could do, and therefore there the interest payment would only go to the adult children. Amru, so it says the Mishnah, Rumashnich Abba. But if the brothers who are going to work on this property make a declaration, we learned in the Mishnah, and they say, Rumashnich Abba, Harein Oysen V'Oichlin, we're going to work, but we want to collect the benefit. Hashbichul Atzman. Says the Mara, Rav Safra Shavak Avu Zuzay. Rav Safra was a wealthy man, and his father left him over Yerusha. Sheklinu Ove Ba'iska. And Rav Safra went and did business with that money. Asa As Achi. So his brothers, Tavu Bedina, Kamei Rava, went to Dintayra, to Rava, and said that we want to get a share in that benefit. And again, as we said a moment ago, explained Rishonim, that this is a case where this is not something that anybody could have done. It took his business acumen to make this money. And they said, since you didn't make a declaration, we should all get a share. There is another shot in this Gemara that Tosfos learns, that what happened over here was that it was being... that he was appointed to be the apotropos over this property, and he wanted to collect a fee for being the apotropos. And the other brother said that you're not entitled to a fee for that purpose. But we're going to learn the Gemara. We just learned he earned money on that money, and there was a question: who gets the profit? Amru Rav Safra Gavu Rabahu. Rav Safra is a great Talmid Chacham. And he wouldn't stop learning the Tarach Lachrinei for the benefit of others. So in other words, even though he didn't make this declaration, it's understood that everything he was doing was just to take the profit for himself. If it was going to be a situation that he's going to have to share the profit, he would have never undertaken this. So there's an interesting machlokes Rishonim. If we have a person in such a category, in such a type of Talmud Chacham, Bezman Hazeh. Some Rishonim say that we don't have Talmid Chacham. When the Gemara speaks about a Talmud Chacham, we don't have a Talmud Chacham of that caliber, Bezman Hazeh. The other place that we find it is that the Gemara Masechta Brachos, the beginning of Masechta Brachos, says a Chosin is part of Krishma, part of Krishma, because he can't have the proper Kavana. So the halacha is that doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Because only in a time where people have the proper kavana, when they say krishma, So we could say, well, now there's a circumstance that you're a chassan, and since there's a circumstance that you're a chassan, you're not able to have the proper kavanah. But nowadays, nobody has the proper kavanah anyway, and therefore, the halacha would not apply. But it's interesting, when this halacha is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it does say that this halacha, and says that Talmud Chacham always could claim that the prophet should go to him. So we see that even though in other circumstances we don't necessarily have that type of Talmud Chacham, in this case we do have that type of Talmud Chacham. We learned in the Mishnah, Hachem Shishbichas and Chasim, if the brothers improve the assets, Hishbichal Emtsa. Ask the Gemara, Isha Benichsi Yisoyim Ma'avirtei, what's going to be a halacha that if a wife is taking care of the assets of her husband? Amr Yirmiyah said, so again, the question is, Isha Benichsi Yisoyim Ma'avirtei, as we learned when we pointed out the Gemara, we could have a case of brothers, but how can we ever have a case that a wife is a Yoyrish? Amr Yirmiyah, Bishi Yoyreshes. Our Mishnah is speaking about a wife who is a Yoyrish. The simple pshat is that the wife was told that you should get a share. The way the husband wrote a will is that the wife's going to get a share. Or we're going to speak about a case where she is married, where somebody is married to an uncle and she is a Yoyrish. So she wears a hat of a Yoyrish shear's well. Says the Mara, of course, if she's a Yoyrish, so then it's the same din as our Mishnah. What's special? Why did the Mishnah have to say this? Shita, and that she should be entitled. If she didn't say, then they divided. And if she made the declaration, she gets the benefit. Answers the Gemara, since women normally don't do that type of a work. So even though she didn't explicitly declare that she wants to get a share, Kamay the Parish Dami, it's as if she said it, because the fact that she did this kind of effort, which is something that women normally don't do, so therefore she should get it without needing to make a special declaration. The halacha is, kamashmon, that the halacha is that's not treated that way. But one thing we do see from this Gemara, the Rashba points out, that when a declaration is made, the case of a declaration in our Mishnah, the declaration need not be made in front of a Bezdin. Because if the halacha were to require that the declaration be made in front of a Bezdin, then even if we'll say the fact that she doesn't normally do this should be equivalent to a declaration, but the reality is the declaration has to be made in front of the Bezdin, and it wasn't made in front of the Bezdin. So we see from here that that isn't a consideration, and that the halacha is that you don't have to make the declaration in front of a Bezdin. Says the Gemara, the Amra, but if she says, Ru mashenich li bala, hareini oisav echeles, this is what I'm working here, I want to get my benefit. The halach is that if she made that declaration, then she gets the benefit. So ask the Marpshita, if she made the declaration as she's supposed to, why would she not be entitled to it? Just like by the brothers that we learned, if they make the declaration, they're entitled. Answers the Gemara. It's really a huge compliment. They say, look at this wonderful woman who's taking care of these Simon's assets. And for that enhancement of her reputation, she's willing to achla to give up the rights to the benefit. Teaches us the Gemara, Kamash Malan, if she make the declaration, we follow what she said. Amr Chanina, Hamsi Isha Libnoi Hagodl, the bias, if somebody marries off his adult son in his own home, Kana, he becomes the owner of that home. But says the Gemara, Dafka, not a Gemara says, limitation. Dafka, if it's Godel, only if it's his older son. Dafka, if this son is marrying a Psula. Dafka, if this son is marrying Ishta Rishona, his first wife. The Dafka, Kishisia Rishon, that this is the first wedding that the father made. So the Rashbam explains that why did Chazal make this takana? Because it's embarrassing that a father should marry off the son with all of the conditions that we just discussed and not leave him with a place to live. So the assumption is that he gets the house. And Tosfos takes it a step further. It's a legitimate feeling that the son has, understanding that the son has, that is entitled to this because all of the circumstances that we see. And I saw the Rambam actually uses that type of an approach here. He says there's an umdana, there's a strong umdana that that's what he meant. However, that says the Paiskim, this is with all the conditions that were just meant have to be met. And therefore, if it's the mother, a person unfortunately doesn't have a father, and it's the mother who's marrying him off, then this rule wouldn't apply. It's only by father. The question is, what's going to be the halacha if somebody only has one child, one son? On one hand, we could say he only has one son, so it meets all the criteria, so the halacha should be. But an argument could be made the other way. When there are a number of brothers, so this first son that we're talking about has the special relationship and gets the special rule. But if there's no other son, the halacha is that he's going to get everything eventually anyway, and maybe this halacha ought not to apply. But I saw that the Mishkan Saroyim discussed this question, and he says, even if it's an only son, but all the other conditions that were discussed in this Gemara met, he's entitled to the home. Pshita, says the Gemara, it's certainly in a situation, that there's a home that has two stories, and the wedding is in one home, downstairs, bayis kana, aliyah loy kana. If there's a bayis, and there's a sadra, there's like a porch in front of it, mahu. Now the question is that included with the bayis or not? Is the chsadra considered a part of the house? And therefore, if he gets the house, he gets the chsadra as well? Or do we look at the chsadra as a distinct place? And just because he's getting the bayis doesn't mean he's getting the chsadra. Or, shnei batim zalazeh. If you have two apartments, one inside the other, and do we get both or not? Mahu, will he get both or not? And here, Tura Gemara remains with a teku. There is a question amongst the Rishonim, in this case where the Gemara is talking about the two homes, one home, one apartment within the other apartment, which is the apartment that the wedding is taking place in? Some Rishonim say it's talking that the apartment that the wedding's taking place in is the inner apartment. And since you can't get to the inner apartment without passing the outer apartment first, so we can make an argument that the outer apartment is connected to the inner apartment. But some say the other way. Since the way to get to the outer apartment is by going through the other apartment, that connects the two apartments under all circumstances, and that's the Gemara's question. Are they considered one or not? Meisvei, ask the Gemara on this halacha that somebody who makes a wedding for a son means to give him this house. Yichalei avin bayis v'kli bayis. The Brisa says that if the father prepared a home and everything and all the furnishings of a home, kli bayis kana, he gets the furnishings, bayis lekana. So we see that the son doesn't automatically get the house. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shai Oitzer Shalavim Munachsham. If the father left his items there, then it changes everything. That means that the father is still holding on to that house. Nadai Amar Afilu Shufcha Dayoni. Even if he left a nest, that means the father is still there. Rehudar Papa Amri Afilu Atzitzit Dacharsna. Even if he left just a fish tank, then that's a proof that the father is keeping the house for himself. Mazutra Ansbe Lebrei. Or if Sutra married off his son, Vitalei Sandala, and he kept a shoe in the home. Ravashi Nazba Lebrei, Vitalei Ashisha Damashcha, he left a cup of oil, and that all represented that he still was in the house. I saw there's a very interesting minig from Darizal. Darizal quotes a minig that if somebody left a home, somebody moved out of a home, out of an apartment, he should not move back into that apartment for 7 years. And the Chiddush says, we don't really know what is this, the basis for the minig of Darizal, but that is a minig that Darizal quotes. But says the Chiddush that based on our Gemara, we have one way to have a heter. And that is if somebody moved out of an apartment, but he left something there, even if he just left something minimal, then the halach is, it's considered as he's still there. Proof being in our Gemara, if the father leaves something in the apartment, then the son doesn't get ownership of the apartment. So if somebody moves out of an apartment where we could find that the person who moved out left something there, they're still entitled to keep that. They can move back and not have to wait the 7 years. These three halachas that we're about to learn, the Chazal treated them that like halacha l'moshe m'sinai. When we speak about halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we accept halacha l'moshe m'sinai, even though that there's no explanation. But the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says that that's the halacha. And that's the case here. Chodaha, one is that the halacha we've been speaking in our shir, that if the son is given the apartment to make the weddings in the apartment with all the conditions that we just learned in the Gemara, it becomes his. Idach, Damar Yudam Shmuel, HaKaisukon Chosav L'Ishtai, Gemara that we learned early on, Kuflam and Aleph, that if somebody writes over all of his assets to his wife, what was meant with that declaration was Loyos al Apotropa, that he meant to appoint her as an apotropos. Idach Damar Rav, Manali Biyotcha, if somebody says to someone else, I owe you money to Nail Pliny. Give it. Somebody says, you owe me money. Instead of giving me the money, give it to the person whom I owe the money. If all three of these parties are there, the Mamet Shloshtem, if all three parties are there, then the halacha is that Kana, even though there was no formal act of Kenyan, it doesn't require one. There's an interesting question in the Paiskim. Our Gemara just taught us of a new Kenyan, a Mamet Shloshtem. And the Mamet Shloshtem doesn't require anything more than the three people should be there. What's going to be halacha if they're all not physically there, but they're all on the telephone? Would that be sufficient? And the Paiskim want to say that our Gemara just said that this halacha of Mamet Shloshtem is Hilchas B'lo Tama. It's a halacha, we don't understand it, we accept it. So when we have that type of situation where it's a Hilchas B'lo Tama, we just have to accept the halacha as stated, that we only accept it when all of the conditions under which the halacha was stated are there. So if the halacha says the Mamet Shloshtem needs that all of them were there, so if it's not all of them being there, then it's not a situation of Mamet Shloshtem, even though they're all speaking to each other, and the halacha Mamet Shloshtem will not apply. Mm-hmm. Says the Mishnah, Achan HaShlutfim, if you have brothers who are sharing Yerusha, and they, as we've been discussing, have not yet divided Yerusha, and Nafal Achan Mem LeUmnis, and one of them, and the Gemara will elaborate on this, was appointed by the king to have a very important position. And as we're going to learn the Gemara, he was appointed to this position because of the family that he comes from. So since he was appointed to this position because of the family that he comes from, the benefit of that position, Nafal Emtzah Ne'osho, Chalav Nisrapa, but if one of the brothers who are sharing a Yerusha gets ill and he needs to pay for doctor bills, Dalochid Nisrapim Shalatzmai, he has to pay his own doctor bills. Tana, says the Gemara, when we just spoke in the Mishnah about the umnis, what is meant? Hai umnis means l'umnis hamelech. He was given a position by the government, and the governor, as we just said, only appoints people from this family, for certain families. So he got the position because of the family he's from. Tana Bonim, echod min achem shemenu agabai, that he was appointed to be the tax collector, or Pumistus, he was appointed to be an officer. If he was appointed to this position because of the family, Lachim, they all share. But in Machmas Atzmai, if he was appointed to this position because of who he is, nothing to do with his family, then Latzmai, he keeps it. Ask the Gemara, in Machmas Achim Lachim, if he was appointed to this position because of the family from where he comes, so they all share, Pshita, and that they should all share, answers the Gemara, L'tzricha d'charef tfei, that this brother who was chosen is the most capable of all the brothers. That he could make an argument that I got this position because of my talent and not because of my family. Kamash Milan, that as long as it's understood it was because of the family, even though he was the brother of all the brothers that was chosen, they share it. One of the brothers took money out of the assets to be able to learn Torah, or Lil Meremis to learn a profession. The other brothers could tell him, Im ata etzleinu, if you'll stay with us, yesh l'cham azonis, we will support you. Avalim ain't atam etzleinu, but you going off, then ain't l'cham azonis, you don't get a share of the household, of the food and everything that we have in the house. Ask the Gemara, but why is that? V'lesalei, why shouldn't he not be able to get kolech disa? Wherever he is, he should be able to collect what he deserves. Answers the Gemara, the reason he doesn't get that entitlement is Mungusai Le Rav Huna. It supports what Rav Huna taught us. Dam Rav Huna, Birchas Abayis Beruba. When there are more people in the house, there's bracha in the house. So if there's bracha in the house, you wouldn't have cost us so much. And therefore, we don't have to take our money to support you. Ask the Gemara, so, yes, it doesn't cost as much to support somebody who's living amongst the family as it costs to live alone. So we don't have to support him for living alone. But why should we not support him? How much it would cost to support him when he was together with the rest of the family? Answers the Gemara, hachinami, indeed. So the question is, how do we make that evaluation? So Taisa says that what we do is we see he lived with the brothers last year and the cost of living for the family, the mezonos, was X. This year, he's not there and therefore the cost was less. Whatever it's less this year versus last year is the amount that he's entitled to. But there are Rishonim that are not really happy with that approach, because there are many factors that come into consideration why expenses change from year to year. Cost of food, all sorts of many different considerations. And therefore, it's not very clear what is the amount that he's entitled to, how we make that evaluation. We learned further, Cholav Nisrap Nisrap Mishal Atzmai. If he gets ill, we have to pay for doctor bills, he pays it out of his own pocket. Says the Marshalch Rav Mishmeid Reb Illa, Loi Shana Shechol B'Pshia. When does he have to pay for his own doctor bills? When he got sick by his own fault. Ava B'Oinis, if it was something they just got sick, the Srapim and Emtsa, then they pay. Says the Marshalch Rav B'Pshia, what is the definition of getting sick B'Pshia? Says the Marshalch Rav Chanina, Dom Rav Chanina, Hakul De Shemaim, everything that happens to us is min hashmayim, chutz mi tzinim upachim. Tzinim means being cold, and pachim means heat. A person who goes out without a coat, he made himself sick. Or a person doesn't dress properly in the summer is the one that causes that he should become sick. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, tzinim upachim b'derech, ikei shoymen nafshi yichik mehem. These are the kind of things that one could control. Take care of yourself. And if you take care of yourself, you wouldn't have these problems. The Gemara, Masechet Bava Metzia, Tosfos there, asks the question. The pasuk says, V'heisa Hashem m'chol kol choli, zu tzina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prevent you from being sick. But we just learned, to ask Tosfos, that tzina is something that we control. So how do we understand that pasuk? So Taisa says the way to understand that pasuk is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us clothing. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us clothing, that will protect us from getting sick. The pasuk says, Parshas Mishpatim, Kol machla shesantim Mitzrayim loyosim alecha, ki ani Hashem refecha. So ask the Arachayim Kaddish, what is the pasuk adding with the words, Kani Hashem refecha? So he explains what the pasuk means to say like this. Sometimes a person gets sick, and Al Gemara just said, sometimes a person gets sick, he himself caused himself to become sick. How did he cause himself to become sick? He didn't wear a coat. And the pasuk says, Ani Hashem refecha, Ani Hashem refecha, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do for you, that he's going to make sure that you'll have money, that he'll give you a refuah. You make yourself sick, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you a refuah for a disease that you caused upon yourself. There's a different pshat in this Gemara, a very, very powerful pshat, where the Gemara says that Hakav de Shemayim chutz mitzim and pachem, that there are different ways people could behave, different attitudes on how a person could behave. Sometimes a person could be, the approach that a person should take should be an approach of his lahavis. It should be an approach of doing things with much enthusiasm. And sometimes the proper approach, how to do something, is to be cold. That means when it comes to do a mitzvah, a person should do it with much enthusiasm. And when it comes to do something what you're not supposed to do, even if it's something that you have to do, and it's not something that you really should want to do or not do, that should be done with coldness. Hakav de Shemayim. We don't control everything. But one of the things that we can't control is tzinim upachim. What should our approach be to doing things? Should it be an approach of cold sometimes, or sometimes it should be an approach of enthusiasm? Agamar just said that everything happens b'yad Hashem, besides tzinim upachim. There's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Taisus' approach to this Gemara is posh pshat in the Gemara. A person can control that he shouldn't go out without a coat in the winter. And if he went out without a coat in the winter and he gets sick, it's completely his fault. The Ramban says that even that is dependent on b'day Shemayim. The difference is that the gzeiros that come b'day Shemayim, that we have easier control to change, and some gzeiros are things that are harder to change. So, for example, I saw that there was a person who constantly ate candy. Because he constantly ate candy, he had to have serious dental work, and he missed work for a couple of days. And because he missed work for a couple of days, he comes back and he says to his employee, I deserve to get paid for sick time. And the employer refuses to pay him for sick time. He says, I was really sick. I had this serious dental work that prevented me from coming to work. Why should I not be able to collect for that? And the employer says, well, it's really all your fault. Because if you wouldn't eat candies all the time, this would have never happened to you. What is the halacha? In reality, the question is very much dependent on how we learn. It's very much dependent on the machlokes of Tosfos and the Ramban. If we say that, like Tosfos learns, that there are things that are in our control. So this is considered something that's in our control, and the employer has a fair claim. You should have watched yourself not to eat these kind of foods, and you wouldn't have this problem, and I shouldn't be held responsible. From the Ramban, it seems that it would be a fair claim. There's also a question that the Poskim discuss, and that is, we know that if one of the people who say the Birchas HaGoymel are Chayla v'Nisrapa. So the question here is that somebody who got sick by cause of this type of situation where he made himself, that he caused himself to get sick, does he have to say, does he say Birchas HaGoymel? Or is Birchas HaGoymel only said when it wasn't you that created this situation? So according to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that we mentioned earlier, that even if somebody gets sick, he could cause himself, like Tosfos says, because he was the one that did this to make him sick, make himself sick, there is no question that the refuah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since there's no question that the refuah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says the Birchas HaGoymel, then when he says the Birchas HaGoymel, he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the refuah, and that doesn't make a difference how or why he got sick. I saw that Reb Cheskel Abramsky writes that when the Russians expelled him to Siberia, the treatment that he was given was absolutely horrible. It's freezing cold there, and he was given a very light blanket to cover himself, and that's it. And in the morning, they would make all the prisoners walk outdoors barefoot. So he says that even though our Gemara says that Hakav Dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Apachim, when was Hakav Dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Apachim said? He says it's only said in a place where you could have done something. The example that we keep on speaking, that if it's a cold day, you should have put on a coat. But in a case like that, where he was expelled and he had no control, there we don't say, Hakav Dei Shemayim Chutz Mitzinim Apachim. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him special Siyata D'Shmaya. He says even though he was a child very sickly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him and he came out, V'Heis Hashem Kol Choyli Kani Hashem Refecha. In the time of Chazal, when somebody would get married, his friends would send him gifts. And the ones that would bring the gift would come to the chosen and eat with him for the 7 days of the Sheva Brachas, and they would give him the gifts. And what happened was, when these individuals got married, they would have to do the same, and they would have to come participate and give the gifts. This is what's known as Shushbinus. And as we're going to learn in our Shia today, that the halacha, we begin to learn at least, the halacha of Shushbinus is not just a gift. It's much more than a gift. It's something that there's an obligation attached to it. And therefore, if there's an obligation attached to it, it's not that you could say, well, I came to your wedding and I gave you a gift and I did what I was supposed to do. You have to do the same. If you want, you can. The Gemara is going to teach us that you're going to have to. The Poskim say that the entire concept of Shushbinus doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. He says that in the time of Chazal, which we often learn in Shas, that there was a concern that the chassan may say that the kal is not a psula when she really is, or something like that. That's where Shushbinus was put in place. But b'zman hazeh, there's no formal Shushbinus. And therefore, if somebody attended a wedding and gave a gift, and then you invite the person to his wedding, the claim of a gift is not an absolute claim. Says the Gemara, Acha she'asa mekzina shushbinus ba'av, a father who sent some of the sons to act the shushbinim by a wedding, and then the father passed away. Chazu shushbinus. If that person who got shushbinus from us now gets married and he has to give back shushbinus, the loch is chazur al emtza. It has to be given back to the estate. Since the father was the one that paid for the original shushbinus, this shushbinus is owed to the father's estate. Four explains the Mishnah as we just discussed. Shushbinus nikmas bebezdin. Shushbinus could be collected in a bezdin. Avashlech l'chaveri kadi yayin v'kadi shemen. If I just sent you a gift, wine and oil, ain't nikvim bezdin. There I don't have a claim to collect it in bezdin. Mivnei shengmil sodom. It's just a gift. And yes, it's appropriate and nice that if I give you a gift, you should give me a gift. But it doesn't mean that there's an absolute obligation like there is by a chayv, by a debt. Rimini asked the Gemara that we just learned that the Shishbinis is given back to the state. The Braisa says, Shalachoy of the Shishbinis. If the father sent Shishbinis to somebody who's getting married, so Chazeres, Chazeres Loi, it's given to the brother who was sent. The Shtachel, Love the Shishbinis. But if the father was, when the father married off one of his children, he received Shishbinis. Kishechezeres, when that Shishbinis has to be repaid, Chezeres ben Emtsa, it's repaid from the estate. So this Braisa said that if the father sent Shishbinis through one of his sons, when the Shishbinis is returned, it's returned to that son and not to the estate. And it says, the Gemara, Amar Vasi, Amar Yochanan, Kitnan Nami Masnisen, the way to learn our Mishnah is the Shtachel of Tanan, that the Shishbinis was like the second case of the Braisa, where the Shishbinis was sent to the father, and therefore the father's estate has to pay it back. Ask the Gemara, but that's not what it says in our Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about the brother doing Shishbinis, not the father. Answers the Gemara, Tani Miktsasen. What it meant was like this, that some of the brothers did Shishbinis, and the Braisa says that in that Limiktsasen, some of the brothers received the Shishbinis that the father received. But ask the Gemara, Vachoz Shishbinis Ketani. The Mishnah says that it goes Lemtsa, that when the brothers receive the Shishbinis, it goes to all of them. So the Mishnah is also speaking about that case. Says the Gemara, Hachkamer, Chazur Ligbois, when it comes to time to collect back Shishbinis, Nishba Nigvis Mi Emtsa, don't say that only that brother receives it, but all the brothers receive it. Says the Gemara, Rashi Amaloi Kasha, the way to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa is Kambastam, if the father sent the Shishbinis and he didn't say it should be returned specifically to one son, Kan, Mefarash, we said that the Shishbinis should be given, the payback Shishbinis should be given one son. Ketanya, Shalach Loi Shishbinis. If the father gave him money to do Shishbinis, Kishichaveres, Chazeres Loi, because the father wants only this son to enjoy it. Shalach Aviv Shishbinis Tam, but if the father didn't appoint one son more than the other sons, then the halach is Chazeres Lanza goes back to the estate. That what happened here was that the brother who participated in the Shishbinis passed away. And we know that if a brother passes away without children, the one of the remaining brothers does Yibam, and the brother does Yibam, takes over the Yerusha of his dead brother. But as halach that we've learned other times, that he only gets assets that were there, not assets that were supposed to come. And ain't a night baroy kamuchsik. And here Shishbinis, even though it's something that they could collect, but since they didn't collect it yet, it's considered roy.